beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and through obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands that serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Confused myself. I had a little problem trying to get it straightened out. It's a blessing to be old.
But there are some problems.
Excuse me. Confessional reading this morning from the chief articles of the faith. Article 27 of the monastic vow. Furthermore, the precepts of God and the true service of God are obscured when men hear that only monks are in a state of perfection. For Christian perfection is to fear God from the heart and yet to conceive great faith and to trust that for Christ's sake we have a God who has been reconciled, to ask of God and assuredly to expect his aid in all things that according to our calling that are to be done, and meanwhile to be diligent in outward good works and to serve our calling. In these things consist the true perfection and the true service of God. It does not consist in celibacy or in begging or in vile apparel. But the people conceive many pernicious opinions from the false commendations of monastic life. They hear celibacy praised above measure, therefore they lead their married life with an offense to their consciences. They hear that only beggars are perfect, therefore they keep their possessions and do business with offense to their consciences. They hear that it is an evangelical counsel not to seek revenge, and therefore some in private life are not afraid to take revenge, for they hear that it is but a counsel and not a commandment. Others judge that the Christian cannot properly hold civil office or be a magistrate. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 18 through 13. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Shunem. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy on his afflicted. So far, our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Galatia, chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaiden, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So far, our epistle reading is the gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that all these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into the mountain by himself alone. So far our reading from the gospel. We confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our text this morning is the gospel reading from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verse 2 and verses 14 and 15. Then a great multitude followed him because they had seen his signs which he had performed on those who were diseased. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. Please be seated. Twice in that reading, John calls what Jesus has done a sign. And if you were here last week, we heard Jesus saying in the Gospel of Luke, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Interesting. John's gospel is all about signs. The first 11 verses of the second chapter of John's gospel are the recording of the turning water into wine in Cana of Galilee. And that 11th verse says his disciples, the first of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and his disciples believed in him. In fact, John, at the close of his gospel, tells why he has written it. "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." This miracle, this sign, the feeding of the 5,000, and the long discussion between Jesus and those who had eaten of that feast, make it pretty plain, I think, what the problem was that Jesus was talking about, the evil generation that seeks a sign. Those, when they had seen this sign, said, "This is truly the prophet that is to come." Two ways that the expected Messiah was referred to. One is the prophet. After all, Moses had promised in Deuteronomy 18, God will send a prophet like me, and you will listen to him. And then, of course, the son of David, a king. No wonder Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, went and hid himself, because he knew they were coming to make him a king. They followed him into Capernaum the next day. And from the 15th verse here, where our reading ends, through the 70th verse of this long chapter, is a discussion between Jesus and those who ate and were filled. Jesus begins that discussion, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He says, "Don't be concerned about the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Work for that." They therefore said to him, "What sign you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You see what they're doing? They ask for a sign so that they will believe him. What do you think they had just seen? John calls it a sign. But they want a Messiah after their own notions. In fact, they want a God who operates with my will be done. If he will fit their idea of what he should be, if he will but be what they want him to be, they will believe. They want a God after their own heart, a pet God, if you will, one who will do their bidding. It's a common problem. It's the fallen human race. Jesus warns of wolves in sheep clothing, false prophets. And there are many false prophets. Paul writes to Timothy in his pastoral epistles, if you will, says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And it's certainly true down through the centuries and today. There are many claiming to proclaim Christ who teach a Jesus of their own making. Usually a Jesus who fills the requests. My will be done. We can name names. One pops to mind currently, Joel Osteen. Preaches a God who answers, my will be done. But it doesn't matter, because it's that kind of a Jesus that appeals to our sinful human nature. Scripture reveals Jesus, who invites us to pray, promises, great promises, that we will be heard. And those who were here Thursday evening for Pastor Trofhagen's sermon based on the third petition of our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, heard a great sermon. We're assured that we can ask for his will, knowing that it may not be an answer that we like, but we can be confident that however he answers, whatever it is, will be what is the absolute best for us. And that confidence, as Pastor Trofhagen is based, as Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How can he not freely with him give us all things? Jesus says it's an evil generation that seeks a sign. and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. Jesus himself uses another Old Testament imagery to describe his crucifixion. He uses that in his conversation with Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The ultimate sign, of course, is his crucifixion for our sin, all sin, including our sin of desiring a God who serves our requests, and his resurrection for our eternal life. And what John says about the reason for writing his gospel is the reason for the entire Old and New Testament. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Take.
our pastor.
O Lord, thou great physician of soul and body, we beseech you mercifully to regard thy servant Pastor Stoltz. O thou who didst give thy son to bear our infirmities and sicknesses, deal compassionately with thy servant and visit him with thy virtue and power. Into your hands we commit him. Unto your gracious mercy and protection we commend him, as unto a faithful and merciful God, for Jesus' sake. We pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give them rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome. Through Christ our Lord, through whom, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we evermore magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat the body of Christ, given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat the body of Christ, given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith,
unto life everlasting. Depart. Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given for you.
Savior Jesus Christ, and unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for our sins on Calvary's cross.
teach thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Thursday, And because the scatterbrain creature didn't include a prayer, prayer has been requested. Are there any other announcements?
Cemetery committee meeting right after church.
Okay. Anything else? Tim?
We brought that Easter rep to sign up today, so I'm going to be the first to sign up. Downstairs, you can.
Okay. Don't miss your opportunity. Let's rise for prayer. Pray for Joe's family, and then also we'll pray and give thanks for the food we're going to eat. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you today giving thanks for all the many blessings of Joe's life and time here on earth, especially for calling him to faith and keeping him in your care and granting him the gift of eternal life. We pray you be with his family, comfort, guide them, and give them the assurance of eternal life. In the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed.
Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.